What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're on episode 82, and this episode is brought to you by Zalman. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Zalman, that will show you kind of what they are featuring around this time. And with me on this Sunday night instead of Friday afternoon is Derek. What's up, Derek?
Yo, what's going on? What's up, guys?
It's just a Sunday, man. Sunday night. It's It's weird. I'm like, because Friday, we like get the podcast done, and then I have the weekend, and now it's Sunday, and it's like do podcast and then work week. So it's weird.
I don't know.
It's a little odd.
I kind of like coming home straight from work to do the podcast kind of gets old sometimes. So
true. So it's good that we switch it up.
Yeah, and like you know, it's getting late in the year. Light's getting less. So stuff
in the daylight sometimes. Yeah, I don't like that at all.
No.
I like the sunshine, you know, so for us who live, and you live farther north than I do, but it's getting colder, it's rainy and crappy, the leaves are changing, it's getting darker sooner, it's just the winter depression.
Fall.
Yeah.
Fall sucks.
Yeah.
Black has a few things to say about fall.
Yeah, I like fall more than winter, though.
That's true. That's really true.
Because I don't like super cold, and I like the snow to like go snowboarding.
Oh, you like the snow is good for like a minute, right?
Yeah. So I like it. Like if I want to go snowboarding, I go snowboarding in the snow. But like besides that, I don't have any use for the snow.
No.
Yeah. There's no other use for the snow instead of making it harder for people to drive. Everything wet and nasty and just cold. So. Not a huge fan at all. So
I think that like because it didn't used to bother me. I think that like disliking the winter and snow is like a sign that you're getting old.
You should probably move. Yeah, you live where it snows quite frequently. So
true.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it is too. And it's just like, you know, when it's summertime, like you know, you work like your 9 to 5 or whatever, and then you have like 4 or 5 hours of light to
totally
do fun things.
Yeah.
And now it's like it gets dark, and it will start getting darker at like 6 or you know 7, then 6.
Yeah,
then
I think it's like 6 now.
Yeah, it's just horrible, man. Yeah. So
and
yeah,
daylight savings time is like next weekend.
Yeah,
I think so. It's coming up real soon, and then it's just dark all the time.
Yeah, so it's just not fun.
Yeah. So sorry to be depressing, guys.
Yeah, let's talk about tech and not our depression.
Yeah.
So we will jump in to our reviews this week, and I took a look at two pretty cool products. The first one is Fantex Enthu Lux Tempered Glass Edition. So the Enthu Lux came out about 2 years ago, which you reviewed.
Yeah.
And you really liked it, and you actually gave it a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, those awesome cases.
Yeah, and so what they've done is they made a few small changes. The biggest change is they put a tempered glass side panel on the side, and it is awesome. I think anything with tempered glass just looks badass.
Yeah, definitely.
It just looks so much better, and obviously it's heavier and feels better than a normal acrylic window. And so that's what they did to this case. Still pretty much the same internally. They made a few changes. The biggest change internally is that they added two SSD bays to the front part of the case so they can actually be displayed with that glass side panel, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's the backside of the drive bays, right?
They're what?
It's like the backside of the drive bays. Or, well, it's the front of the case, but it's what would be the backside of
Yeah, so you can actually, you can move them to the back.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're
well,
the exact same
thing.
What
I mean is it was this open space there. It was just a piece of metal there before. Just a blank piece of metal, and now they put those drives there.
Yeah, so
good use of space.
Yeah, good use of space, and obviously it allows you to kind of show off your SSDs, which of course nowadays a lot of people want to do. You know, if you get some nice looking SSDs, you definitely want to show them off.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
But the only problem with that placement is like they don't really offer that great of cable management as far as your like they have these little slits that they want you to put the cables through. And they do go through, but it just makes more cable mess, especially with that glass panel. I would have liked something that I could kind of put them back through or something just a little bit better. That could have been better thought out. That's me being super picky, obviously, but you know, when you're building a system and you want it to look really nice, it's just, it just didn't, you know.
Yeah, it looks like you can run them, like, by the fans, too.
You can. You have to. Well, it's super tight. You actually have to remove the fans. So you can't run an SATA power cable through there. You can't. I tried it.
That's really tight.
Yeah, so you actually have to remove the fans to do that, and that's just an extra step. And, you know, when you're building a system, you want to get it built, and that's a, you know, that's a pretty decent extra step, I would say. Yeah. To do that.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to remove those fans.
And I didn't really test it, but I'm not sure if the actual SATA data cables would actually go all the way around the front of the PC and then back to the motherboard.
Standard ones would probably be pretty close.
Yeah, so that's
some long ones that you could easily do, but that's another
purchase. That's another cost, and yeah, it's so
time waiting to get them, etc.
Yeah, so that's just that's just like the one really issue I had with this case. Besides that, you reviewed it. It's an awesome case, great for water cooling. Tons of space to route cables and do all that stuff. Power supply cover. It's done really well. Fantex does a really great job on their cases, and this one is no exception to that. So,
you know what I think? I just realized that space that's there, it's not even a cutout for you to route cables. That's where, because it used to be a 150mm fan in there, I think, or even bigger. Maybe
200. 200. Yeah, 200.
And it protrudes through the side right there.
Oh, okay. So that's what that was for. Because I initially thought that you would run them that way. And then I was like, and then they sent an email out showing us how they wanted to be routed.
Yeah. Too bad, because I actually think you would hide them better going
towards you would. The fans. You
I totally do like that change, though, going from the 200 down to the 2140s.
Yes.
That's a smart move.
Yeah, so in the front of the case, instead of having a 200mm intake, there's actually two 140mm intakes.
That's good. I mean, the 200mm fans, they do good for, like, just kind of getting a bunch of air in, but it's kind of just, it's undirected air, right?
Yeah.
And so you get a lot more focused air streams, I think, with a smaller fan.
Yes. So yeah, it's a good, and it comes with I believe four total fans, so two in the front, one in the top, and one in the back, and that's a lot for a case as well. So I think it's a really good case, and it's priced well too. I'm trying to
Where's this one at?
It's like $169.99.
Okay.
So that's the exact same price as the older version. Yeah. So no $20 premium, $30 premium, or something like that with tempered glass, which you do see, it's the exact same price as the original case.
Sweet.
So if you're looking at this case, I would say go with the tempered glass side panel. And one other thing I want to mention is that the tempered glass side panel, it's on a swivel, so it's super easy to open up, but then you can pull it off completely. So obviously you don't want a tempered glass panel hanging somewhere while you're trying to install your components. So you can easily just take it off the entire case as well. So...
But that's nice too, because originally when their cases came out with tempered glass, it was just a set of four screws.
Yeah.
Thumb screws.
Yeah, so you have the two thumb screws in the front, and then you have two hinges in the back.
That's great.
And it works really well. And it makes it easier, because if you just need to fix a cable really quick, or maybe just install some memory or something where that panel's not going to get in the way, you just unscrew the two, you know, open it up, and then put in whatever you need to do, and then close it back up really quickly. And then if you need to do something intense, like install a new motherboard or something like that, you can take the panel completely off.
That was my... I forget which case. I had a case that did that, and that was my favorite feature.
Nice.
It swung out easily, and you could just pop it up and pull it right off.
Yeah, exact same design. So if you're looking for a new full tower case, this is one of the ones you should definitely check out. And again, it's not priced that bad either.
Yeah, no, that's really not that bad.
Yeah. So we'll move on to keyboards. And I took a look at ASIO's MK Retro. And this is a mechanical keyboard, but it's unlike any other keyboard that you've probably seen, because it has sort of a retro design. It's designed after a typewriter almost. So imagine like a keyboard layout, but with keys that are fashioned after old typewriter keys. So they're completely circular. And it's really interesting. It's something I don't think you'll see much of, because I don't think a lot of companies are going to do something like this.
I think there's probably a huge market for it.
Yeah, there's not a huge market. I think this is something to show off. This is something if you are in a business or something where, you know, maybe you're a designer or something where you kind of want to have a kind of cool display keyboard that people talk about, this is it.
Yeah, and just kind of going with a certain aesthetic.
But I do have to say it's functional. And the reason I say that is because they do use mechanical switches. So they could have easily done this keyboard as a scissor or dome style keyboard, but they gave it mechanical switches. And I think that's important to note because if you do want to use this as a typist, of course, you know, typists, they're huge fans of typewriters and things like that. So if you're a fast typer on a dome or scissor keyboard, you can miss strokes. It just, that's what happens. With this, you're not going to, you know, if you're typing really fast, yeah, you're not going to miss anything. This is full Nycro over USB, so you're good to go. You know, there is no backlighting on this keyboard. That's one of the downsides. I would have loved to have seen backlighting on this keyboard. I think that would have set it off even more. But it is, you know, it took me a few hours to get used to actually typing on it because you're not used to those type of keys at all.
It looks horribly clunky.
It is kind of, yes, but once you get used to it, it does have really good feel. Like, I love their blue switches. I'm not specifically sure which brand. I know they're not Cherry MX, but they are blue switches, and I love blue. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're Kales. I love blue switches. I love that clicky feel. And if obviously, if you're a fan of old typewriters, you like that audible feedback when you are typing. Yeah. So this is actually pretty nice to type on, and it feels good. So I think that's one great thing that they did with this keyboard, because I think if it was a dome-style keyboard, I just wouldn't be a fan. I just think it's kind of dumb. But with the mechanical key switches, it adds a whole nother level to it, and it's a good keyboard to type on. It's, again, you just have to get used to it, but it is interesting, and obviously it's something that's going to bring attention no matter where you have it, because it's just not like any other keyboard you would normally find.
Yeah, definitely draw attention. I think that it's got like a kind of a steampunky aesthetic.
Yes.
I could see somebody that does like a steampunk build take this, and maybe they would repaint the chrome to like a bronze, right, or a copper.
Yeah.
And then you'd have a pretty steampunky keyboard, but.
Yeah, it's a good keyboard. Now, it is $109. And at that price, you know, you just reviewed the keyboard from Zalman. That was, how much was that? $79
bucks.
And that's full RGB backlit, and you can program macros and stuff on it, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, so with this keyboard, there's no reprogramming, there's no backlighting, so that's kind of puts it in a weird spot. I think that it is well-made, and it is unique, but I think $109 is a little high for what it is, you know? Yeah. But I think it's cool. I think it's very unique, and I think it does have its place for some people. I just don't think enough.
No, I don't know. I think that it's a big risk for them to make because you're just – I don't see there being a market much bigger.
Yeah, so I think that when I looked it up on Amazon, it was out of stock. I think it's going to be a thing where they make, you know, a few runs of I don't know how many, maybe a couple hundred, and see how they sell.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe it'd be more popular elsewhere.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe there's a market that's out there that is totally into this look.
Yeah. But I think it was cool. It was something interesting for me to review because it's a totally different product. You know, if it was a normal keyboard, we do those all the time, and this is just something kind of unique. So
yeah, it's not a standard gaming keyboard.
Yeah. So definitely check out the review. It's a really interesting keyboard just to look at, and I do like the mechanical key switches, so that's a plus on their side. But we will move on to Case Mod Friday, and if you don't know what that is each Friday we post a build or mod that's been completed in the community, and we kind of show it off so we can drool over it or get ideas for our next mods, or just, you know, just to show what's going on in the community. And this week we have a build called Parvum Arctic Warfare, and it's by Paul Tokley, if that's how you say his name. Sorry, Paul, if I'm saying your name wrong. And this, as you can guess, by the name of the build. It is in a Parvum case.
The new which Parvum, right?
It is the new one. It is the Parvum M1.0. And this is one
much bigger than the old Parvum.
Yeah, much bigger than the old Parvum. And it is Parvum makes really great cases, and you can kind of order it like with the colors that you want, because what they do is it's, I believe it's all made of acrylic.
I don't know if it's, I doubt it's actually acrylic. Because I think the panels would break, but it's a, I'm guessing it's a high impact plastic of some kind.
Okay, so
I wouldn't put my money on acrylic.
The way Parvum works is that you can special order the cases to your specifications. So if you want like a white interior with a black outside, or however you want it, and it comes in pieces, and you actually put it together.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Which is a lot like a lot of the high end boutique cases come
this way. Yes, yes. So this build is an all white build, which I'm a huge fan of. I like the all whites.
I love it.
And
can't
this,
get enough of them, to be honest.
Yes, this build's pretty interesting for a couple of reasons that I found really cool. One is that on the well, it's a mono block, but it's a CPU block that also covers the VRM. He actually added camo to the block.
To the back of it.
Yes.
That's sick.
Yeah, that's really cool. And then the GPUs also have a digital camo look, which I think is really cool. The cabling is sort of a Arctic camo or something, or like a digital camo. I forget what he used.
Yeah, it looks like a paracord that's just got a camo pattern in it.
Yeah, so the, all white water cooling, hard tubing. It's a very simple build. It's not that out of the ordinary.
No, but it's fantastically perfect.
It is very clean,
yeah.
And it's very well done. The only crazy modding that was really done, there are some holes in the case made specifically for pass-throughs for the water cooling.
Okay.
And obviously
it
the
like it's got a drain port going to the bottom.
Yeah, a drain port going to the bottom. There's a stand for the reservoir. And then obviously the camo on the mono block and on the GPUs. That's kind of like.
Don't know if he did actually. Did he polish the blocks?
It has to look like
I
it.
I think you can get them that way now, though. So that's.
Oh, you can get them clear now.
I think you can get them clear now, but I want to say you can, but either way, his are perfectly clear and it looks awesome with the camo behind it.
Yeah, it looks really, really well on the white coolant. It's a really good build. And when I was looking at this build, I looked up some of his other builds, and he does a really great job.
Yeah, this is somebody that really takes their time.
Yeah, so it's a great build. Good, you know, it's a Core i7 system, the Asus Sabertooth Z170 board. That's the white board.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has Crucial Ballistics Sport LT white memory in there, two GTX 980 Ti's, which both are water cooled, and an SLI. And
some XSPC radiators.
Yes.
White.
Yeah, so it's good stuff. And it's cool to see, again, a mixture of EK and XSPC stuff in the different fittings. And he's using Mayhem's coolant, which is kind of the standard for a lot of people.
There's
so
really no other.
Yes. So that's the build for this week, and I really like it. I actually found this on Instagram, of all places.
Nice, yeah.
And I had to save it, and I had to look it up. So
would have thought that site could be, or that app could be useful.
Instagram's awesome, man.
Instagram's amazing.
Think Computers Instagram. Check it out. We always post stuff, and that is where our most interaction is. So, you know, if we post something on Facebook, we post it on Twitter. Wherever it goes, we actually get the most interaction on Instagram. That is the social network to be on right now. So yes.
Good stuff.
So we move on to the news this week. And the big thing, if you didn't listen to last week's podcast or you missed it, is that I went over to Hong Kong for Zotac's 10-year anniversary event. And it was a really cool event. It was not only a celebration of Zotac being in business for 10 years, but there was also a Counter-Strike tournament, a pretty big Counter-Strike tournament, with teams from all over the world. That was really cool. I haven't been to an esports event in a very, very long time. So that was really awesome. And we got to do a factory tour, which was really mind-opening, because I've never seen how a graphics card gets made. So we went all the way to mainland China, where we actually got to see the factory and got to see it from a blank PCB all the way down the line to a finished product.
Nice.
And it was really, really cool. But we'll talk about the products first, because that's kind of the new stuff, and then I'll talk about the other stuff at the end of the podcast. So with the 10th anniversary event, Zotac actually announced 5 products. We covered 4 of them. I'll talk about the 5th one as well. But they actually announced 5 different products, and the one that I thought was the coolest was their new VR Go backpack. And the VR Go backpack was the first kind of prototype, was shown at Computex, and this is the new one, and it's smaller. It has GTX 10 series graphics in it, so there's a GTX 1070 inside. It's like a hard backpack.
Yeah.
So it's all one piece. Like, it doesn't open and you put components in like the old one. This one has everything built in, and it allows you to play VR games while walking around. You don't have to be connected to your desktop PC anymore.
Yeah, really, it's like the perfect solution for a Vive.
Yeah, and it has like, you can hold your control, it has the places to hold your controllers and the headset and everything, so you can actually walk around normally, and then when you want to go into VR, you just plug it in. But it is, and this isn't just for like walking around places, this is just to even play normally. Just for the fact that, again, you have to get long cables for your VR devices, and this kind of solves that problem. Yeah. We actually did I have a whole video of the unveiling and showing it off and everything like that. It's a really cool device, again, specifically made for VR. But again, you can just set it down and it's a normal PC too.
Oh, nice.
You know, it allows you to connect any VR headset. There's actually USB and HDMI ports on the top of it, which are made for those VR headsets. But it's a really, really great product. And I think that, and it's not all that heavy. I actually got to pick it up. It's not heavy at all.
Yeah, that's my biggest concern with those.
Yeah. So I think it's really cool. I believe it's Core i7 powered as well. So you don't have to worry about any computing power or anything like that. So yeah, super cool. And I believe they said at least 2 hours of gaming time, which is pretty substantial, I think.
Yes. I mean, can it just be plugged in?
Oh, yeah. You can just plug it in as well. But completely unplugged. Yeah, unplugged from power, at least 2 hours of gaming time.
Okay. I just, you know, to be honest, it's not that I have a problem with their product specifically. It's that I don't think that idea, because it's not the first one, of course.
Yes.
I don't think that idea is a solution, right?
Yeah, I think we all eventually want everything in the headset, right?
Yeah.
So we don't want a backpack. We want a headset that's, one, again, still not as big as the current headsets, that does all the computing for us.
Well, if it was all in there, but even away from that, I mean, give me like a Bluetooth device or something, or I don't know. I guess it's probably got to have a lot more bandwidth than Bluetooth provides, but you know, something wireless in some way, shape, or form. And like, that's, I prefer it not to be the whole PC, because I don't want to use that much power. 2 hours, I mean, think about a gaming session, you know?
Yeah,
you're
for sure.
You're gonna spend much more than 2 hours.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm not a VR expert at all, and I don't know what the.
Even tried it.
I have tried it. I tried it at this event.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did like it.
Oh, he admits it.
But the thing is I don't know the recommended time. Like, you know, you can't – supposedly there's recommended times to be in VR and to – you know what I mean? Like,
some guy was in VR for like 48 hours straight.
Oh, really?
No negative results.
Okay, well, that's good. No, what I'm saying is I don't know the, like – they, you know, the actual tests and what people, you know, have done to be on it. But I think 2 hours as a start is good. The battery packs can be taken out, so you can kind of swap them out if need be.
Okay.
But I think it's a cool device.
Cost,
yeah, it's definitely a cost. I think it's a cool device, and I think that over time it's going to get better, but we kind of have to work with what we have right now. And this is kind of it right now.
Yeah, like I said, I don't have a problem with Zotac's product. This is a very immature.
I mean, we're only getting to these first VR headsets, you know, and things are going to improve over time. It's just we gotta wait for it. You know, just like everything. So
yeah, no, it's true.
Yes.
That's why I didn't buy this generation of VR.
Yeah, literature. I wouldn't either. Yeah. The second product is a graphics card, and it is the GeForce GTX 1080 Arctic Storm Thermaltake 10-year anniversary edition. It's like the longest product name ever. And this card is a ready for custom loop water cooling card. GTX 1080, obviously, and the full coverage water block is made by Thermaltake. And I think you're going to see a lot more of this as Thermaltake gets into water cooling. I'm actually really, really impressed with the design of the water block, the full cover block. It just looks really, really nice. While it's not open, I still like it. A lot of times you see that the clear tops on...
Oh, right.
This one doesn't have it, but I think it is really well done. It has RGB lighting that goes around the entire block and kind of lights it up, and it all can be controlled via software, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, that's really cool, actually.
And the card has a full backplate as well, which looks really, really great. It's really awesome. This is factory overclock card.
What are we looking at on the back of it? The power boost, are those like caps or something?
Yeah, so the power boost was introduced at the 900, the 9 series. Okay.
It's those big pieces in the, you know, that are cut out of the back.
Yeah, I'm not actually sure the technology behind the power boost, but it either provides more stable power to the card or does something along those lines.
Okay.
I haven't actually really looked it up completely.
I'm assuming the idea is for greater overclocks.
Yeah, so this one actually has the dual power boost chips, which is something that I don't think has been on any of their cards. So that's a big thing as well.
So are those like digital power management chips? Is that what it is?
I believe so.
Okay.
I'm not specifically sure. This is a dual BIOS card as well. This is one of the first cards that's also almost all 10 series cards right now have had a 8+2 power phase design. Almost all of them, even custom cards and everything. They all keep the same power design. This card has a 16 phase power design. So this is like their big boy card. It looks awesome. The RGB lighting looks awesome. Perfect. Like again, you know, if you are doing custom loop water cooling, this is the way to go. So it's an awesome card. No word yet on pricing. It should hold quite the premium. Not only is it factory overclocked and then custom PCB, but you are getting a full coverage water block on top of that as well.
Yeah. About that water block, I don't know if you know this or if this was shared with you. So Thermaltake makes the block. Did they mention what the core was made out of or the block itself?
They did not.
Okay. There are some people that had taken issue with Thermaltake not using copper in their entire
design. Yeah, so I don't know if that's with the... Yeah, I don't know if this block has copper or not. I don't
remember what their other metal is. It's some sort of coated aluminum, I want to say, but I'm just curious what they would have if they would use something other than just pure copper in this.
Yeah, that was not made clear to us.
Okay.
But I'm sure I can find out, so we can follow that up for sure.
Sure, once we have like release specs or whatnot.
Yes. But again, awesome card. That was one of probably would be my second favorite thing of the event.
No.
And the third product is a mini PC. It is their 10-year anniversary edition Magnus EN 1080. And they've had their Magnus products for a while. These are full mini PCs made for gaming. The older one is about twice the size of this, and that had a 980 inside. This one has a 1080 inside, and because of the size of the board, and they're able to make this so much smaller. Full 1080. So this is a MXM version of a full 1080, so it's not a cut down 1080 or something like that. You're getting a full 1080
custom PCB.
It's a Core i7 inside as well. I think you do have Core i5 option possibly. Yeah, but you have Core i7 60, the one they showed us is Core i7-6700, GeForce GTX 1080, which is the MXM version, and the user gets the choice of RAM. So there's two DDR4 DIMM slots, so you can configure that however you want. And there's a 2.5-inch SATA tray as well as an M.2 slot that supports both SATA and PCI Express solid-state drives. All this is inside of a...
NVMe.
Wait, what?
Not NVMe, though.
It would be NVMe, yes.
Oh, it would be?
Yeah. That's NVMe is just a protocol.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So as long as your drive is built with the NVMe protocol, you're good.
Oh, I thought the board had to have...
The board has to have PCI Express.
Okay.
So the drive has to be...
Yeah, it has to be wired for PCI Express, right?
Yes, yes.
The M.2? Yeah.
Yes. So you get all that in this small little box that basically can be like a small gaming PC. Very high-powered. No word on pricing on this, but it should be quite high. Just for the fact that you're getting all of this. And again, the photos that I took, you can't really tell. You can't get a grasp of size, but it is.
Yeah, we got to really teach you how to take photos.
but it is a very, very small device. And it's a full-fledged gaming PC. You can do VR no problem. It does have HDMI and USB 3.1 on the front. So you can connect your VR headset easily. Lots of ports on the back, dual display port as well as dual HDMI and dual Ethernet. It does have 802.11ac Wi-Fi, 4 USB 3.0s on the back. It does have a dual power brick design, so the power to the unit is actually 2 power bricks instead of 1, which makes sense considering what's inside.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Yeah, and there is a 10th anniversary logo on the front or on the side that lights up, and it's RGB lighting as well, and that matches with the illumination around the power button.
Cool.
But it's really cool, and it's cool to see that you can pretty much build a super high performance gaming PC or buy a super high performance gaming PC in this form factor, because this is going to do everything. I mean, a GTX 1080 will play anything, you know what I mean, at pretty high resolutions. So to see that in this small form factor is pretty awesome.
This is more than enough for VR.
Yes, yes.
What I see this for.
Yeah, for sure.
It looks like it's about the size of a power supply.
Yes, yes. Okay, pretty much. Yeah, you kind of hit that spot on, yeah. About the size of a power supply. Maybe a little bit taller, but not much. And it is water cooled. And it wasn't made apparent what's water cooled. I believe I would assume it's the CPU, not the GPU, is water cooled. But it is water cooled as well.
It'd be neat and smart if they did both.
Yes, but I just don't think they did. But that, again, that wasn't made clear to us at the event. So, not sure.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, finally, the last major product is the Sonic's 10-year anniversary special edition SSD. And that is Zotac's PCI Express NVMe solid-state drive. And with the special edition... they added some RGB lighting, which of course is really nice. But this is a pretty badass SSD. Read and write speeds, 2800 megabytes a second read and 1500 megabytes a second write. Really, really awesome. It's powered by Toshiba MLC NAND. I'm not specifically sure what controller is inside. But it's a super fast drive. The Zotac logo on the back is actually RGB as well. So all of these products use the Spectra RGB lighting, which has its own app. So say they had a system in there, you can match the all your components that have the RGB lighting together. So they all, if you're doing like some kind of color phase or something like that, color changing, you can actually match all the products together.
That's,
that's the worst when something doesn't match if you're trying to do something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, very, very, very fast drive. And that is they also announced a new high bandwidth SLI bridge. I didn't think it was that exciting. It's just we've seen those from a bunch of other companies, but theirs has the little Zotac circle logo on it, and I believe the circle logo, I'm not sure if the circle logo is RGB, but I know it does light up. So if you are rocking two Zotac cards, two GTX 1070s or 1080s, and you wanted to kind of complete that whole Zotac theme, they have their own SLI bridge now, or high bandwidth SLI bridge. So, so those were the products at that event. We'll get to the other stuff at the end of the podcast, but it was really cool. It was just cool to just be there and check everything out. I like to go to events where things are getting announced. You get to be the first people to see it, and that's really cool. Yes. So we'll move on to other news. And there were some big announcements for some pretty big players. The first one is Microsoft, and they announced their Surface Studio all-in-one PC. So they had their annual Surface event. And this is an interesting all-in-one PC, basically made for designers. I don't see a lot of consumers using this just because of the cost.
Yeah, it's gonna
be- and the screen is something that a lot of people don't even need.
And $4,200 for
That's a lot to do with the screen. This is a professional grade screen. It is a 3:2 aspect ratio pixel sense display. The resolution is 4500 by 3000, which is about 62% more pixels than 4K resolution.
Next level stuff right
there. Yeah, it has 10-point touch with Microsoft Pen support. And it's only 12.5 millimeters thick. The actual components of the AIO are actually in the base. And we've seen this with a few other products from different companies. Inside the base, you can either get a Core i5 or Core i7 Skylake processor. Your choice of NVIDIA GTX 965M 2GB or 980M 4GB. And you can choose between 8 gigabytes or 16 gigabytes of RAM and a 1 terabyte or 2 terabyte hard drive. And I believe it will support SATA or just a typical mechanical SATA drive, SSD drives. Possibly, I assume there's a PCI Express version as well that you can fit in there. And the display is the big showmanship because it is a professional display. It supports both DCI P3 and sRGB, and you'll be able to toggle between both of those on the Windows sidebar. Nice. But this is expensive. It's not cheap. So the base model with a Core i5, GTX 960M, and 8 gigabytes of DDR and 1 terabyte storage is $3,000. And then the high-end model with a Core i7, GTX 980M, 32 gigabytes of DDR4, and 2 terabytes of storage comes about $4,200. So it's not cheap.
No. My initial thoughts, it's underpowered with a 980 mobile because that's a cut-down card.
Yeah, but this isn't designed for gaming.
No, but it's a lot of pixels to fill.
Yeah, that's true. I think,
the apps that you're going to run on this, too, are going to be graphics intensive.
Yeah. I think that's what they could fit in this form factor.
I think you're right. But I think that if you got to scale up if you're going to, charge that kind of money.
Yes. I think the display is really nice.
It's incredible.
Yes.
It's a great looking design, but gosh, it seems like a bad product from a we want to make money standpoint.
And I think that this is just like the Mac.
It's totally just.
The Mac Pro? No, not the Mac Pro. Just the Mac? Is that what they call it?
Just the Mac, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, the Mac. It's the same thing. Like, it's such a beautiful device, but it is vastly overpriced.
I know it's an incredible display, but you can certainly.
I think that if you're serious, I
can get this display and all of that kind of horsepower for much less money.
Yes. So, and the only thing is the touchscreen, which you might not be able to get a display like this with that touchscreen, but I think that if you're a designer using a pen anyways, you're going to use one of those little pads, right?
Yeah, more than likely.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to be drawing on your screen.
Yeah, so, it does have a place. I think it's super overpriced, and I think that anybody doing this can do an X99 system for the same price.
Actually, than what it offers.
Yeah. You can do an X99 system with a true 980, more memory, and the only thing you're missing is the touchscreen display. I mean, you can get a high-end display for like for around $1,000, I would say, with everything that this one has, besides the touch. So
yeah, the touch is going to be interesting.
But it's cool to see Microsoft really follow through with this Surface thing.
To bring the full product line.
Yes.
Yeah. So you built this, right? This means that you're shooting for these designers that are using Mac or Macs, you know?
Yes.
Do you really see a Mac user switching from OS X
to
Windows just because you made this fancy, ultra expensive computer?
No, but Microsoft probably thinks so.
Yeah. Microsoft is making a lot of mistakes that I feel like AMD made in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, they need to get back in touch with reality, like little reality checks that AMD's taken.
Yeah. So that's what Microsoft really is.
It's cool.
It is cool. I would love to play with it. The photo
they've got on it is gorgeous. It makes it look amazing.
Lenovo sent me one of these a few years back, and I loved playing with it. It was a lot of fun. I would never pay for it. But it is. Theirs was the exact same thing. I don't know if I put that in a review. But it's one of those things that's like, it's really cool to play with, but as a gamer and as a high-end user and enthusiast, this is not something that I would pay money for. If I need to build a new PC, it's going to be a tower. I'm going to have a discrete graphics card inside. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to make the sacrifices when it comes to performance.
Yeah, and you can do small form factor.
Yes.
You can hide your tower. You can have an awesome-looking display.
Yes.
This is like, brag-worthy, of course.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. Maybe if I was that level of a business, of an, I don't know, who buys this?
Not a photographer. Designer.
It's too expensive for a photographer.
Designer or a agency that just has money to blow and buys a couple of these to use. Maybe a university, and Microsoft does have great ties with universities all around the world. So that could be a thing. I could see a lot of definitely a lot of education using this. You know, they have money to blow, obviously. That's why tuition's so high. you know,
giving them all your money.
Yeah. So you know, I could, again, I think most professional designers, that all the designers that I know, everybody uses a Mac.
That's where it's at.
Yeah. So I don't see them, you know, one, spending a shitload of money instead of getting a new Mac on this thing, and then having to kind of relearn possibly different apps in the way things work. It's just, you know, I don't see it. So yeah, a cool device, very beautiful. I don't see it making a big dent in, you know, Apple's market share of the designer people. So. So yeah,
they'll sell a handful and that's it.
Yeah. So, talking about Apple, they had their, I forget what their event was called. It was called like Hello Again, I believe, was their event. They introduced a new MacBook Pro. There's two big features that I'm a huge fan of. One is Thunderbolt 3, which is awesome. As a standard feature, which basically means you get 40 gigabits a second up and down on one port, so you can connect to 4K displays. You can kind of do a lot of awesome things with this. You can connect super fast SSDs. You can do a lot of stuff. Of course,
but it's not unique to Apple.
No, it's not unique to Apple at all. But it's good to see
good
it.
Feature, Ed.
It's a good to see it in a mainstream product. There's only a handful of Windows-based notebooks that have Thunderbolt 3. So it's good to see Apple do it as a product-wide thing. That makes a lot of sense, especially because a lot of designers are using very, very fast portable drives, and that's the fastest way to get everything. And a lot of designers do go home and plug this into a nice big plug their MacBooks into a nice big display. And with that, you could do two 4K displays easily. So kind of nice.
Yeah.
The second big thing is a new thing called the Touch Bar. And basically, I'm not sure the actual technology behind it, if it's an LCD. or what it is, or OLED. I'm not really sure. I didn't really research that. But right above the number row in the keyboard on the laptop is this display that will change. It's like an LCD or an OLED display that will change based on the application that you're in. So they showed some demos like going through photos. So you'll actually see a mini display of your photos, and you can kind of swipe through your photos like you would on a phone or a tablet on this. They show different controls in Photoshop that will kind of jump down there when you are using Photoshop and all the other applications. You can also just add things down there as well. I think it's really cool. I think the way they showed it working is very intuitive. I don't know how well it's going to work. People actually use it. I would love to actually sit down with this and actually try to use the touch bar, but I think it's really cool. And I think that if anybody's going to do something like this, it's Apple, right? But there has been some companies that have done. We've seen the OLED keyboards. Razer had one. It went over decently, but that was very, very expensive technology.
What do you think this is?
It's expensive. It's not as expensive as OLED. I know that. Those were very, very expensive. And they were just kind of clunky and not done well. This looks really well done.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool. They redid a couple other things. They put a new display on it. I'm not sure what the new display is. But it is the
67% brighter than previous generations.
It's the thinnest and lightest MacBook Pro ever. And we'll talk about one really cool thing that was done inside to make that possible. There is Touch ID on this too, which if you use Touch ID on your iPhone, you know how convenient that is, especially when it comes to purchasing things. You don't have to type in a password, you just put your finger there. This is the first MacBook with that. But the cool thing that is built into the 15-inch MacBook is a new graphics chip from AMD. So AMD, alongside the Apple's announcement, announced their Radeon Pro 400 graphics. So this basically, one, this is a huge win for AMD, because previous versions were of the MacBook were powered by Intel's Iris Pro graphics, I believe. So this is the new Radeon Pro 400 series, and as I talked about, the MacBook Pro is their thinnest and lightest. And what AMD did was this thing called I have to find it. I was reading it and I thought it was kind of interesting. A process known as die thinning that actually reduces the thickness of each wafer of silicon used in the actual graphics processor. It's kind of interesting that they were able to do this to get it to fit in this small, it enables smaller and lighter devices. And this, the MacBook is going to be the first product to use this, but we'll see this in other ultrabooks and small devices. But the Radeon Pro is made up of three different SKUs. It's the Radeon Pro 460, 455, and 450, all of which operates at 35 watts, which is kind of interesting.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. To give you a rundown, there was just released the actual specs of each of them. The Radeon Pro 460 has 16 compute units, which is 1024 stream processors. The Radeon Pro 455 has 12 compute units with 768 stream processors, and the Radeon Pro 450 has 10 compute units with 640 stream processors. So I see these being used, and again, 35 watts, which is pretty awesome. And all, we didn't make it clear, but these are all built on Polaris architecture as well.
Gotcha.
But again, Apple was the first to announce it with their product, but I assume these will be lower cost and lower power draw, I believe, than NVIDIA 10 series.
Yeah, probably.
So we will see these in a lot of ultrabooks and very small you know, travel type devices. Yeah, high-end tablets. We'll see a lot of that. So it's cool. And I assume because Apple made the switch from Intel, their Iris Pro, that this has pretty good performance compared to that.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so this is going to be great for people who are do video editing and things on a Mac. And again, it's going to come to the PC side as well. So it's a pretty big win, I would say, for AMD.
Yeah, again, AMD shopping the low to mid-level part.
Yeah, and a part that's, going to be used in, the Mac.
And in a high-end product in this case.
Yeah, in a product that's being used by a lot of people. I mean, that is, I assume, I don't know if Apple sells more MacBook Pros than MacBooks. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
But almost everybody that I know that has a Mac, it's a MacBook Pro. So yeah, pretty cool week of announcements. Last article. Totally forgot about this one. Lacey, who makes storage typically for Mac, a lot of they were like one of the first to ever have a true Thunderbolt drive. And they make really awesome storage devices. Again, mainly used for creators and things like that, just for the fact that they're ultra expensive, ultra high performance, and usually for the most part, Mac products are the only ones that support that fast speed, especially when it comes to Thunderbolt. So they released three new Thunderbolt 3 drives, which of course are made for the new MacBook Pro. The one that I think is the best is their new Bolt 3. This is a Thunderbolt 3 drive, external drive, that's powered by two M.2 PCI Express SSDs. It has speeds of up to 2800 megabytes a second over Thunderbolt. So that's an external drive. That's not an internal drive. That's externally, which I think is super fast.
Is awesome.
Yes. So again, this is one of the first people to offer something like this, and it is just super, super fast. If you're working in 4K or higher footage, especially coming from like the super high end cameras, you know how much of a bitch it is to take it off of your and to wait and to do all that. This cuts that time considerably in half, and you'll be able to attain that super high speed on something like a MacBook Pro, which is nice. Or like the Dell XPSs have Thunderbolt 3 and a few other ones. The Razer Blade also has Thunderbolt 3 as well. So if you're doing something like this, this is the portable storage that you're probably going to want to use. And they offer the Bolt 3 has a 2 terabyte capacity currently.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and Lacey announced their larger devices. So they have the 12 big Thunderbolt 3 and the 6 big Thunderbolt 3, and the 12 and 6 are for the amount of drives that are inside. The 6 big comes in 24 terabyte, 36 terabyte, 48 terabyte, and 60 terabyte capacities. And the 12 big comes in 48 terabyte, 72 terabyte, 96 terabyte, 120 terabyte.
I've been needing a 120 terabyte drive, so I'm good. Happy to see that.
This thing's just a beast. The 12 thing is, it's so big. I mean, if you look at the photo, it's like the size of a PC tower almost. But this is what Lacey's known for. Yeah. They really have kind of their niche is creators and professionals and people who need a lot of storage and a fast connection to do it. Just to give you an idea of prices, the 12 big, that's the 48 terabyte, starts at $6,400. Yeah, so that's a lot.
Starts there? Oh gosh.
Yeah, so I can't imagine how the 120
Gosh. 15 grand.
Yeah, it gets up there. So, cool stuff. I love products like this that are just absurd. Well, I wouldn't say it's overpriced because there are SSDs inside, all that kind of stuff, right?
This is like those big ones. That's something that like your architect firm will they'll buy, and that's just your data dump, right?
Yeah, and I believe all of the drives are in some type of RAID.
Yeah, I would assume
as well. So yeah, so cool stuff from Lacey. And that is the news for the week. We'll talk about what's coming up next week. First, we have two new CPU coolers from Cooler Master. I can't tell you about them. I can't tell you their names because we're under NDA. But I will have that review for you. What's today? Sunday. So Monday, that review. Two cool products. CPU coolers. They are air coolers. That's all I can tell you. Secondly, we will have a case from Fractal Design. Again, I can't talk about it because it is going to be announced next week. But Fractal Design, new case. And we'll have a full article about our factory tour. And that's what I want to talk to you guys about at the end of the podcast here, is the factory tour to see how graphics cards and Zotac mini PCs are made. It's really eye-opener because, you know, you see these products, especially electronics, and you're wondering, how did these get made? And it was really cool to see the assembly line and how product, again, a graphics card goes from a PCB all the way to a finished product in 20 minutes, maybe. It's not that long of a process at all. And some of the one of the more interesting things is all of the soldering is done by this mass machine that's sort of like it screen prints the solder on. So if you're familiar with screen printing a t-shirt, it's kind of the same thing, but it's with solder. It was very, very interesting. A lot of the main components are put on by a machine, but some of them are put on by hand as well. So as it goes down the assembly line, people are putting the components on. The fans are all put on by hand. And then once the graphics card is done with the assembly process, they go and they flash the BIOS. They do a quick test run, like a burn-in. They do all that kind of stuff. It was really cool. And they pick every so many out and they run them through these excruciating tests, which we got to see all that as well. Temperature tests, extended gaming tests, dust tests, electromagnetic shock tests, all that kind of stuff. And then we got to go to another part of the factory that does all of these research and development, and we got to go into the sound testing rooms where they actually test the sound output of
the DPU
of the mini PC.
Oh, okay.
So you get to test the sound. It's basically like a soundproof room. It was pretty crazy. To test that. We got to see. We got to go in this other room where they test the. Electromagnetic output of the different products as well,
like coming off the board.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So because you need to do all that and make sure. Yeah.
It's within spec.
Yeah. So that was really cool.
Do they have to do that for each product?
Not each one. Like every so many, they pull off and they test. It's like it would take forever.
Yeah.
It's like every so many, there's a room in there where people just play video games all day.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool to see. And I was just, we were asking, it's not like they get to play whatever game they want. Like they have, their characters in WoW and Overwatch. Like it was cool to see, like that's what they get to do all day is play video games.
yeah.
And that's like for their extended graphics card testing. So they have the cards on this thing that's measuring all the different specifications and everything as they're playing. Every so many cards gets pulled off and they get put through all these tests to make sure that everything's going, through spec. It's really cool. And the actual factory is the PC Partner Factory, and they make products for a bunch of different companies, not just Zotac. We were just shown the Zotac stuff, but there are some other companies. I don't want to name them because Zotac took us there. So, but I like to see the process because, again, I've never actually seen that process and how it's not like this massively big factory that, it's really not, it's kind of cool. It's not a whole lot of people, working there either. It was
mostly automated.
Not mostly automated, but just like the assembly line is not that big. It's a lot of big machines that do a lot of the work, and then there's people testing and doing other stuff, you know. So it's cool. It was really cool. Cool to see mainland China as well. Yeah. Obviously never been there. And it's much different than Hong Kong. Hong Kong is super westernized, whereas mainland China is not. People in Hong Kong speak English, where mainland China, they do not at all. So yeah, it was interesting to see, and I would love to go back. We were around the same area as the Foxconn factory, and obviously, if you've heard some of the main health hazards and crazy mm-hmm. things about that place, so we're in the same area. But the PC Partner Factory, it seemed very, I mean, obviously they knew we were coming, so you can't say, you know, but it was very clean. We had to wear anti-static suits and all that kind of stuff. Like it wasn't like this, it didn't seem dangerous, put it that way.
Yeah.
At all. So it was cool. It was, like I said, it's definitely just cool to see the process and how everything is built. So yeah, that's what I did this past week.
Sweet. Yeah. It's good to see you made it back too.
Yes, I made it back.
We were a little worried for you.
16-hour flight. Well, even more than that, because I flew to Jersey, and then I flew back, and then I flew to Chicago. But the long flight was 16 hours there and then 14 hours back. So, yes. Did you do anything exciting this week?
No, not really. Played some Battlefield and worked and raced my bike.
Wait, Battlefield 1?
Yeah, no.
Just...
yet. I'm not buying one yet. I want to have some time to play it, right?
Yeah, so. I've been so busy, and with this trip and with a lot of other stuff we have coming up, like we're doing a lot of these launches, as we talked about with the products that we're reviewing next week. It's just a lot of stuff, and we're getting to that busy time where we get a lot of products into review because we're getting to holiday season. Ugh.
Yeah.
There's people that have already put up Christmas lights.
That's just dumb.
So,
at least get past Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so it is that time of year, busy time, but I will probably get Battlefield 1 in the next couple weeks.
So we'll see, and I'm torn too because, like, Gears 4
is
available for PC, and I want to play that on PC.
Yeah, so. Anywho.
Yeah.
We both want a game, we don't have time to game.
I would love to play games. I love video gaming. I actually listen to more like gaming podcasts than I actually get to play video games.
Yeah.
It makes me a little sad.
I need to get into a podcast. Give me a podcast that you recommend. Besides this one, obviously.
Co-optional podcast.
What is it?
Co-optional. It's mostly PC gaming.
I'm going to write this down.
Yeah. It's entertaining. You got a good three standard folks that are on that. And, okay. You get a guest every week, and it's about a 3-hour podcast.
Oh, that's a long one.
Yeah,
because I have that
kind
been,
of time.
Yes, well, yeah. So my time's not like that. I get like we talked about that I have an office now, and
I
do
have a
take
commute now. Then,
well, yeah, I do have a commute. I take the bus, and but it's like I live so close to downtown. My bus ride's like 15 minutes. it might be 20 max, but it's not long.
So you got 40 minutes there each day, right?
Yeah, so I could knock out a podcast and
yeah, you can do that before the next one comes out.
Yeah, so that's a good idea. So I'm gonna try to get a podcast. I like it's been a I used to watch This Week in Tech and some other stuff like religiously, and I really don't watch even like YouTube or anything. Like I don't watch any tech content. I haven't in a long time. I need to change that.
I tried getting into This Week in Tech, and I actually don't enjoy it that very much. For one thing, I keep finding myself getting pissed off because they're wrong about stuff.
That's true. And then, I haven't watched it in a while. Now, I watched it all the way from the beginning, so since like the tech TV days, like when I was a kid.
A little nostalgia,
and
familiarity with
But I haven't watched tech TV in probably 2 or 3 years, or This Week in Tech or whatever you want to call it. There's some great YouTubers out there with tech stuff, and I met a couple when I was in China doing some really cool stuff. So I gotta get back into watching tech, and watching it and listening to it and doing all that gets you more excited for it, I think.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, so I'm gonna research some podcasts here so we can have some, you know, just get, be more enlightened about tech, I guess.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Everything tech. Tech, yes. Gaming, can't get enough.
Yes.
Just
so
don't actually get to play it.
Yeah, that's the sad part. So on that note, we'll tell you that you can find this podcast on your favorite podcasting app or site or whatever. Just type in Think Computers, all one word. And as we go through the podcast, we're talking about the products. You can go to our show notes page, which will be linked with the podcast, and you can click on each article and read all the stuff that we probably forgot about. All the nitty-gritty details will be there with the links, and we'll have links to both products we reviewed as well as Case Mod Friday and all of that fun stuff. So until next week, catch you guys later.